It is Wednesday, April the 13th, 2016. It's episode 126 of the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwick.net, your pro wrestling news one click away since 1997. That's definitely some credibility there. And as always, I want to welcome you to the latest edition of the GRP, returning after his very busy weekend there, officially tying the knot, the one, the only, my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Teddy. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Congratulations once again on your wedding, and glad to see you back on the job. And Steve, we got to get some clapping, some applause there. We should have had an applause sound effect right in there. As soon as you introduced him, we should have had that sound effect of people clapping.
Yeah, we should have the "Here Comes the Bride" music playing in the background as well. So.
Well, all that for
free. We don't want to make it miserable. Let's have the applause.
all that for fabulous Frankie D. That would be great.
Yes, sir. Fabulous Frankie D. up in the house.
Right.
And of course, we're also welcoming back for his weekly visit with us, the former general manager of Raw and SmackDown, manager of legends in this business, and someday will be in the WWE Hall of Fame. The one and the only, Theodore R. Long. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Holla, 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 players. I'm good, and I'm ready to go, man. And let's get on this here, and let's talk about some business here today.
Unfortunately, I think we're going to start a little bit on a somber note. Yesterday, it was confirmed online that we've lost another one in the wrestling business. Gone too soon. Only 44 years old. ECW hardcore icon. Was briefly in the WWF as well, or WWE, I should say, before somebody corrects me. Several runs on the independent circuit, always known for using the chair. The one, the only, Balls Mahoney, passed away just 44 years old. We want to start off by sending our condolences out to the friends and family. I know he had a young son as well. Very tragic news. Teddy, I know you worked with him. Always an interesting character. Maybe just reflections on the passing of Balls Mahoney.
I had a chance to work with him briefly a little bit, and I tweeted out that Balls, you know, I loved him. He was a great guy. He was crazy and, you know, just kind of a prankster, you know, loved to have fun and celebrate and have a good time, and he was just a great guy, and I really enjoyed my time that I had the opportunity to spend with him.
Another name lost, Frank. It's the list continues to grow. 44 years old. Myself got a chance to talk to him a few times at the old ECW shows, the old Paul Heyman shows. Always a personable guy, down to earth. Actually, really the whole locker room really was back in the day. Interesting character, but, you know, Frank, we don't know the full story. All we've been told so far is that he fell. You know, we know that Balls had some injuries, took a lot of shots to the head, and we can only speculate. Just another tragic loss in the wrestling business.
Exactly, and I'm not even going to speculate as to what may or may not have happened there. We just know that another life has been lost. Another brother to the brothers and sisters in the wrestling business is now gone, and it really sucks. I saw Balls Mahoney when he was in the original ECW, and I really enjoyed his presentation from the entrance all the way down to him, you know, hitting people in the head with those chairs, and he always had the chairs decorated there. I mean, one would say, you know, Hardcore Heaven or November to Remember or something like that. So it's such a tragedy when you hear someone dying, and someone dying so young. You know, this is not a guy dying in his 70s or 80s. This is a guy who was 44 years old that's no longer with us. My condolences to the family and his fans out there, because I know those people today are really mourning his loss.
Yes, yeah, they are. And believe me, Balls Mahone had a lot of fans.
He did. He definitely had a cult following. I remember him in ECW when he would come out. Great reaction for him and Axel. They were a tag team. And it is tragic, and we understand as well there's a GoFundMe set up for the funeral expenses of Balls Mahoney. We can only speculate, Frank, because we actually saw one, what, briefly for Axel Rotten, and somehow that disappeared.
Well, I'm just going to say it like this. If Balls Mahoney's GoFundMe account disappears in a few days and you hear about him being cremated, well, that means that someone stepped in, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, we've heard the rumors. They're definitely out there. Definitely rest in peace, Balls Mahoney. As Frank said there, we'll get more details. I'm sure it'll come out exactly what happened. All it's been reported thus far is that he had a fall. And very tragic. I remember yesterday, the day before, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at the list, and it says Balls Mahoney, 44 years old. So I put a little thing on Facebook, said, happy birthday, Balls Mahoney, and the next day, he passes away. You know, our thoughts and condolences out to the friends and family of Balls Mahoney. Teddy, did you happen to see Monday Night Raw this week?
Well, I did look at some of it. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole show, but I did enjoy the part that I did see. I think Shane McMahon is doing a great job as running Raw. To me, and this is just my opinion, I think he needs to just have a little bit more energy in him, you know. And I was always taught that by Vince McMahon, is when you go out there, you know, and you present and stuff, you have to, you know, make it, you know, put some energy to it and, you know, kind of bring it up a little bit. But and other than that, you know, I think he's doing a great job. They had some great matches on there. I think good to see Cesaro back. And my favorite tag team, Enzo and Cass, boy, I love those guys.
I saw some of the show. I didn't see the entire episode. Obviously, with me here at Hulu, I watched parts of what they present. It was a, you know, hour and a half presentation. I'm scratching my head when I'm watching this show. Didn't 2 weeks ago we have WrestleMania? And as I understood it, Undertaker versus Shane for control of WWE, or more specifically Raw. I seem to remember that Shane McMahon came off this cage and he lost. And then next week, the night after, you know, Vince brings him back and says, okay, you can run the show tonight. And then we read during the week, or actually really specifically on Monday, that by popular demand, the outcry on social media, Shane McMahon is once again going to run Raw from Los Angeles. I don't know, Frank, I'm just scratching my head at the storyline. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it basically puts in point that the match at WrestleMania really didn't need to happen at all in the first place. And it just shows you that whatever plans they had due to the injuries, obviously, those plans had to be changed. And they were like, well, who can we go out there and get that could bring some type of a name value to WrestleMania? Oh, let's get Shane McMahon. And pretty much Shane McMahon took it to The Undertaker. Undertaker took it to Shane McMahon. In the end, Taker ends up getting a W. But we haven't seen Undertaker since WrestleMania. And Shane McMahon is back. He's fine and dandy. And he's running Monday Night Raw. There's no authority around. There's no Mr. McMahon around. It makes no damn sense. But nonetheless, it's something different.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely something different. But, you know, I'm like you, it just really doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? I've always thought you would go into stuff like that, certainly with some type of angle, just to present in that position. Why did you have the match at WrestleMania?
If they're going to go in this direction with Shane running Raw, you would think Shane would just win. But then I keep going back to, you know, Vince adds the stipulation that if Undertaker loses, it's his last WrestleMania, which it could be anyways. You just never know with Undertaker. But I guess they leave that window open. If there's something next year that interests them, they could book possibly with Undertaker. We know Sting's retired now, so if you keep the window open for Undertaker, I mean, where would you go with Undertaker next year? I know it's 11 months from now or whatever, but is there anything out there that would really entice Undertaker to work one more match at WrestleMania?
Well, I put it to you like this. You know, when a guy says he's retired, don't even pay that any attention. I've seen him retire, and the next thing you know, they're right back. Okay, Flair did the same thing. He retired. Shawn Michaels retired. Then he
Terry
come
Funk.
Back. So that's what I'm saying. You know, you can't just really pay that any attention. You know, I think maybe next year for WrestleMania, you know, I don't know, but maybe Sting, if he came out of retirement, maybe Sting and The Undertaker, that's the first time ever. But still, you know, you have no good versus evil. So I just don't, right now, I just couldn't answer that. I don't know who they could have Undertaker work with.
They keep the window open with the stipulation with Undertaker going over, but I know it's hard to speculate. It's so far WrestleMania next year, but is there anything on the horizon that we could really entice, wet the whistle of Undertaker to work next year's WrestleMania?
Two people come to mind. They could do Undertaker versus John Cena like they wanted to originally do. Or they could go with Undertaker versus The Rock is another possibility. I think both of those matches would be big draws. But the problem would be if The Rock would be willing to take a loss to The Undertaker at this point in The Rock's career. As far as The Rock being the Hollywood entertainer slash part-time sports entertainer. So I mean, and another name that comes to mind also is Roman Reigns. If they want to do Undertaker versus Roman Reigns as well. So, I mean, there's some possibilities here, but we are way, way off right now, even thinking about next year's WrestleMania. I don't even think WWE has thought about next year's WrestleMania other than the location that they've already picked out, which is going to be the Citrus Bowl. So.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's kind of a hard decision to make this early, too. I mean, between now and next year for WrestleMania, you never know what may happen. So, you know, you just I think with this one here, you just have to kind of wait it out and see.
Well, you just mentioned the name right there, Frank, Roman Reigns, and what a great segue. That was the next thing I was going to bring up, talking about this week's Raw. Shane McMahon came out, and he made the match with AJ Styles and Sami Zayn, and he mentioned the eventual match with Roman Reigns, and the man, the fans just totally crapped on Roman Reigns, and then he came out later to cut a promo and set up the match on Raw there, but I tell you, Teddy, he's in a real tough situation. We've talked about it before on the show. They could turn him heel, and that might be the way to go short term, but the question is he really ever going to get over? Is the fans really going to buy into Roman Reigns? Because right now, I don't know, it's just like, it's not heel heat, is just really cheap heat, and it just doesn't seem like it. He's really clicking with the fans at all, and really, to me, I don't think the fans really want to see him out there.
Well, my opinion on that, too, I just don't know what's happening with Roman, you know what I mean? I really don't know. Like you're saying, the people are just, you know, just booing him out of the arenas. You know, turning him heel, I thought about that. That might happen, and I thought that may be what the people want, but to me, right now, I don't think they even want to see him heel. They're not buying him for some reason. I have no idea what it is. You know, basically, we can. You know, I think they're giving him the ball. They're using him right. I don't think they're not using him right. I think it's just, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get a quarterback the football, sometimes he throws interceptions and sometimes he throws a lot of them. And I think that's what's been happening with Roman. He's just been throwing a lot of interceptions, man, and he's just having a hard time getting on track. You know, I do hope things work out for him, and I hope, you know, his character gets better where the people will start accepting that babyface or heel. But right now, I'm just caught between a rock and a hard place. I just don't have any idea what do you do with Roman.
It's coming off to me really bad because I look back this past Monday when they were, you know, down in L.A. for Raw, and when Roman Reigns came out there and the negative reaction that he got from the Staples Center crowd, it was like, you know what? I've said it many times on this show, the Raw Deal podcast. I've heard it on other shows where the obvious logical step in the evolution of Roman Reigns is to turn him into a heel. Right now, I'm saying it today here on GRP, I don't even think that turning him a heel is going to work because these people just don't like Roman Reigns. And there's a thing of getting real natural heel heat and then getting that go-away heat. And Roman, to me, is getting that go-away heat. So heel or face, tweener or not, it's just not going to work. And I think that they're putting themselves in a very, very bad predicament right now with having this guy as being the guy. It kind of reminds me of back in the day when you had Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior there at the WWF, and they wanted to make Ultimate Warrior the guy. Difference is, Ultimate Warrior was over, Roman Reigns is not. But they soon reverted back to Hogan because Warrior just, you know, couldn't cut it as a top guy. I think eventually that's what's going to happen here with Roman Reigns. They're going to eventually revert back to what they know, what they're familiar with, what they're comfortable with, and that's John Cena.
And let me comment on that, too, you know, and God, I feel so bad for Roman. He's a nice guy, you know, got a great look and great body and everything. You know, I just can't find out, or I just don't see what he's missing or what's really going on with him. So I really feel bad for him because I really think he's trying as hard as he can to get his character over, but there's just something missing there.
Roman works hard, and I'm not going to come on here and bash Roman Reigns and bitch about Roman Reigns. I'm not doing that whatsoever. I don't have an issue with Roman Reigns at all. But if I have to pinpoint, in my view, as a fan, where it went wrong with Roman Reigns, I have to go back to when he went out with the hernia injury and he had to get that surgery. Because before that happened, Roman had a lot of momentum. A lot of people were behind Roman Reigns. And then he came back from that injury. And you got to remember something, guys. This is when Roman came back. This was around the time that Daniel Bryan's fever was running wild in WWE. So he came back during that, and people already knew, okay, they don't really care about, you know, really Daniel Bryan. They care about this guy over here, Roman Reigns. So they already knew the fix was in, and I think that's when a lot of people started to turn on Roman Reigns, because when Roman Reigns was in the Shield, everybody was a fan of Roman Reigns. Everybody was digging Roman Reigns. I mean, look back at the 2014 Royal Rumble when it was down to Roman Reigns and Batista. Now, I don't know if that was so much of people wanting to see Roman Reigns win or they just wanted to see Batista get thrown out. But you go back to that and you can see where things start to happen as far as Roman Reigns and the negative reaction he's getting today.
Maybe short term, you just take the title off him. Here is your WWE champion. He's just getting booed out of the building. So maybe a short term is you take the belt off him and try to build him up again.
Well, I don't know whether that's going to help either. You know what I mean? The belt was put on him for not for just a look. The belt was put on him for him to draw money. So, you know, I'm sure if it doesn't work out that way, he's not drawing any money, then there's no way they're going to keep it on him. They're going to put it on somebody that they can draw money with. So I just don't know whether taking the belt off him going to help him or not.
Here's the bottom line, though, and this is where WWE, you know, it's going to fix this. This is the mentality of WWE. They're going to say, for people like us that are saying, oh, well, you know, let's take the belt off Roman Reigns for the short term and build him up. No, we can't do that. Roman Reigns drew over 100,000 people to WrestleMania this year. He was in the main event. He was in the main event against Triple H. So they're going to say that Roman drew all those people. That's the mentality of WWE. So
they'd be wrong.
That mentality, then I would think he would probably have the title for a while.
Oh, I think he's going to have the title for quite a while.
I mean, look at the way they do business. I mean, I don't work for WWE, but the way they do business is simply, you know, the champion draws the houses. Okay, well, they were in Los Angeles this past Monday for Raw at Staples Center. Hey, guess what? It was sold out, and they're going to attribute all this to Roman Reigns. Whether he's booed or whether he's cheered, it doesn't matter to them. Why? Because they're still making money. And they're going to say that they're making money and the TV ratings are where they are. They might be down a little bit, but they're still there. It's all because of this guy here, Roman Reigns. He's the champion. He's the man. He's the face of the company. Whether people like him or not, it doesn't really matter. We're still going to push this guy to the hill. Just like when he wrestles AJ Styles at Payback. AJ is going to give him a good match, but we already know how it's going to end. It's going to end with the Superman punch in the spear. 1, 2, 3, he beats AJ Styles. That's how it's going to work.
And you run into, you know, we talked about this before, too, is I think me and you, Frank, when we were discussing WrestleManias, you had AJ lose at WrestleMania. Now this next pay-per-view, AJ is going to lose again. And I know, you know, he gets some television victories, but again, back-to-back pay-per-views, he's probably going to lose.
Well, here's the thing with that. As we saw this past Monday night on Raw, we saw the debut of Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, now Luke Gallows again. So they might play into the match at Payback. I mean, hey, listen, are we going to have a situation where Anderson and Gallows join with AJ Styles, or are they going to join with Roman Reigns? That's where the question will be. And also, you got to put it into perspective, where does Finn Balor fit into this equation? Because you have AJ Styles, you got Anderson, you got Gallows, and you got Finn Balor. They were all affiliated members of Bullet Club. So it looks like to me these two guys are going to play into that, especially since Anderson and Gallows came out this past Monday. I mean, you know what? It was like 1996 all over again for me, because they reminded me a lot of the Outsiders back in the day when the Outsiders came in and attacked WCW. So you got Anderson and Gallows, they could have attacked anybody on that roster. But no, they go right for Roman Reigns' cousins, the Usos. Is that a coincidence, or is it just something that's leading towards what's going to happen at Payback with AJ and Roman Reigns? That's why I'm interested to see that match. But I'm already thinking they're going to beat AJ either with some type of a disqualification deal or something. But either way it goes, at Payback, Roman Reigns is walking out the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Right. Well, I agree with you on that, Frank. I really do. And like you said, those guys just coming into Raw, you know, they got to come in with a purpose. And that would certainly be the purpose, because AJ, at one time, he was a part of that, the Bullet Club. So, you know, I think you're exactly right.
What's your thoughts overall, Teddy, of Doc Gallows? Of course, he was, what, Festus back in the day with WWE?
Yeah, he was also Fake Kane, Steve.
Fake Kane,
yeah.
That's right. That's right, yep. What's your thoughts on him?
I like Doc. He's a great guy, man. At the time he was there, when he was part of the CM Punk regime and everything, he's a great worker, man. I mean, works his butt off, you know, and a real nice guy. So I like him, and I hope this time, you know, he hangs around for a while, and I hope they do the right thing with him. And since we're talking about him, I just want to remind the people that on May the 15th in Barnesville, Georgia, I'm doing a big show with Doc and Ken, both of them there, and so I'll get a chance to talk to them there.
Well, are they just wrapping up their independent bookings before they go full-time with WWE?
Maybe I think that's what they're doing. They may have two or three left, and they may be wrapping it up. But what I'd like to do is maybe, you know, while I'm there, is get a conversation with both of them and maybe ask them about, you know, hey, what direction are you guys going to go in? I mean, they'll talk with me, so maybe, you know, after that, maybe we'll have some insight on, you know, what's happening with them in the WWE.
That would be interesting. You know, we've speculated for a while here with the Bullet Club, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows. And as you said, Frank, they could have brought him in against anybody, and this is the direction they go. But I will say, watching Raw this week, and you said this before too, Frank, is that tag team division is hot right now. Can they keep it going? Will they keep it going? Because, you know, typically in the past, they don't pay a lot of attention to the tag teams. It's kind of a side show. But now New Day is the champion. They have a fresh roster of tag teams. You know, can they keep it going, Frank?
I think they can. I mean, you have to look at it like this too, Steve. I mean, we got Enzo and Big Cass on Raw. You got the Dudley Boys. You got the Usos. You got Lucha Dragons. You got the New Day. You have the League of Nations. You got the Wyatt family. You have so many different combinations. Then you add Anderson and Gallows to the list of tag teams. Plus, look at all the tag teams they got down at NXT, like American Alpha, you know, Blake and Murphy. You got the Revival. You got so many different talents. I mean, the tag team division right now is on fire. It reminds me of the tag team division back in the 90s right now.
If they keep it going.
I think they will keep it going. I think there's a lot more emphasis now on the tag team division, just like there's a lot more emphasis now on the women's division in WWE. So I think they will keep it going. And another thing, too, just because I like a women's match over, say, a bra and panties match doesn't mean that I'm a feminist, okay? Because I saw that the other day where people were like, well, we're feminists and we're fitting an agenda here because I am, you know, not a fan of the bra and panties matches. I'm like this. Let me put it to this in perspective here. I'm not telling people out there what they should like or what they shouldn't like. I'm telling you what I like and what I don't like. And in 2016, in a PG WWE, I don't want to see bra and panties matches. It just ain't going to work. It's not going to be good as it was the first time around, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. When I was a teenager and all that, yeah, I love to look at Sable's big tits and all that. Who the hell wouldn't want to see that, you know? But 32 years old now, seeing where we are in the business today, there is just no room anymore for that. And that's just what it is. It's not about any agenda, okay? I'm not fitting the agenda. If anybody who really knows Frank D knows that I am far from a feminist, okay?
I would agree that WWE has a good flux of women that can actually work. You know, back in the day, you know, Teddy, back in the Attitude Era, they didn't have women that could really work other than Trish and Jacqueline. You know, most of the girls they had, you know, Terry Runnels and Tori Wilson and some of the other girls they would have back in that time really weren't trained workers. I mean, they were just there for eye candy, and that was the direction they were going. Maybe that was Vince Russo's kind of thing back in the day, you know, pushing the women as valets. But now that they actually have a talent of women that can actually wrestle, I have no problem with them pushing women's wrestling right now.
Oh, I agree too, Steve. I don't have no problem with that either. I mean, they got a few girls there that can really perform inside the ring. So, you know, I'm with it 100%. You know, keep pushing those girls and just do the right thing with them.
Let's get down to the bottom line. There is a lot of nice-looking women on that roster that I would not mind seeing in bra and panties matches, okay? Let's just keep it 1,000 here, okay? But right now in 2016, where we are in WWE, is not going to happen. That's the reason why we have the network, to go back and look at all that stuff. But in today, when they want to, you have Stephanie McMahon. If you want to talk about really a feminist, you got to look at Stephanie McMahon and this whole women power, her going out there and emasculating the male talents and slapping them around like bitches. That's what you got to look at there. You don't look at Frank D or Steve Gurek and say, oh, well, you guys are fitting a feminist agenda or some shit, because that's bullshit. I mean, who doesn't like some, you know, big tits and a big ass? Who doesn't like that? Come on now.
If you don't like it, something's wrong.
Exactly. At the end of the day, I'm a man. Okay, so you know,
exactly.
And I think with another head besides my brain. You dig what I'm saying?
And you know what? Since you brought that up, I remember one time I was doing when I was doing the storyline with Crystal Marshall, and we were doing this pre-tape, and Vince was there. He was producing it, and you know, it was supposed to have been kind of like a romantic scene. And I wasn't looking at it, I guess, not right the way Vince wanted me to. And he said the damnedest thing to me. He says, God damn it, why are you looking at it? Look at it like you look at it when you're not on camera. Okay? So he let me know then. Yeah, hey, dude, you know, look at all this. This is right here. How can you not?
Well, I know I would have, Teddy.
Yeah, well, I did, but I didn't want to, you know, act like I was going over the top with it, you know, and so after Vince told me, no, you look at her like you're looking at her if you're not on camera, and I really looked at her real, you know, when I'm not on camera, so I got it. I understand what you mean now.
Yeah, you were a lucky man to work with Crystal Marshall back in the day. My goodness.
Yes. Yeah, she's a nice girl, man. She was okay.
Yeah, but I guess you also had somebody watching her from over the shoulder as well. So I guess you had to be a little more diplomatic during that time as well.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I think I heard with the affair with Bobby Lashley, you know, and Bobby was dating at that time. And, you know, before she went with Bobby, you know, she lived with Matt Stryker for about a year. Matt Stryker dated her for a while.
Whoa. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Matt Stryker got the cutty?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she lived with him for about a year.
Wow. Oh, and for all those out there, you know, Steve is probably like, what the hell is a cutty, Frank? What the hell is that? That's the pussy.
That's the cootie.
Thanks for the update. I appreciate that.
No problem, man. No problem at all.
Anytime, man.
I didn't know that either. In fact, I interviewed Crystal a few years ago. I don't remember that. I guess that must have been pretty tight-lipped. I don't really remember that story surfacing about Mr. Stryker and Crystal back in the day. Certainly we know the story with Bobby Lashley.
You talk to her anytime you get a chance. If you ever talk to Matt Stryker, you know, he'll tell you about it.
Well, I'm sure. If I was dating Crystal Marshall, I would let everybody know about it. That's for sure. So.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the other females that just returned, somebody you probably know pretty well as well, Maryse. What do you think of Maryse back in the WWE?
Well, I think that's a good move they made. She's a, you know, beautiful woman, you know, and I think she adds a lot to the roster, so I'm glad to see her back. I mean, they need all the pretty women they can get.
You think, hey, Frank, you think Maryse helps The Miz?
You know, honestly, Steve, I think that she could help The Miz. I think The Miz got kind of stale. I ain't gonna say kind of stale. He got very stale. It could be a shot in the arm for him here with Maryse being back. I have no problem with Maryse being back with The Miz, and I understand that she's going to be a part of this coming up season of Total Divas. So that's one of the reasons why she came back to the company. But no, I don't think it hurts Miz at all. I think it actually helps him. I think it enhances him, especially with the character he's doing, this Hollywood asshole character. So it definitely helps him.
Yeah, I agree with that, Frank. I think he definitely, like you said, he got stale, and he definitely needs something.
You know, you just mentioned, working with Crystal, and another girl you worked with was that Oksana. What happened with her? Another very attractive woman, just never really clicked in WWE.
Well, you know, she tried real hard. You know, I worked with her for a while. We had a little storyline going on, and she was a sweetheart of a person, you know, and she was always worried about, Teddy, am I doing right? Am I going to do, is this the way I do? You know, she really worried about her job and her position. So I just don't know. Maybe it just didn't click with them. But when I was working with her, her project was it was Triple H's. It was his project to put me with her and work with that storyline. So I don't know what happened. Maybe she just wasn't working out for them.
Yeah, because I think she just kind of disappeared altogether. I don't think she's doing independence or anything out there. So.
Well, she may have went back home. I think she lived in London or somewhere, so she may have moved back home.
I was wondering too when you were doing the storyline with Crystal and the marriage and everything, and then Oksana, you got to work with some really attractive women. Did your family watch WWE back in the day, and just what'd they think when you were out there doing all that stuff?
Oh well, yeah, of course, and that's a good part, of having a good woman in your life. My wife is very understanding, and my wife understands this. She knows what I was doing on TV was TV. Okay, that's how I drew my paycheck. So she didn't have no problem with me doing none of that because she understood it wasn't real. It was part of my job, and whatever I had to do for my job, she had no problem with it, man. It's great. That's why I said she's a great woman to have in your life, somebody that understands.
You know, Teddy, while we're on the subject right now of women in the business here, how was Melina backstage? Because I've heard a lot of stories about a lot of the other female talents not getting along with her. Is that the case?
Well, that's kind of was the case. She was always real nice to me, and a lot of people don't know, but the first thing that she started doing when she used to come down to the ring and she would get on that bottom rope and do that split, well, she did that one time at rehearsal, and this was when they had just put her with the team of Morrison and the other kid, Joey. And I saw that, and I told her, and she'll tell you this, I said, that's it. Don't ever stop doing that. I said, nobody's doing that. Look at that. I said, please continue to do that. So I gave her, well, it was her idea, but I just kind of told her, don't stop, do that. So she was always nice to me, but I did hear a lot of things, from her, from some of the other divas, they couldn't get along with her. She just had this, she was, like, they're just as humble as a lamb until you start getting that push on TV and getting a little bit of money, and then they start getting cocky. So that's what happened to her.
Yeah, the entrance was probably the best part that I can remember about Melina's whole run with the company was that entrance. And that goes back to my point. In 2016, we're not going to see any entrances like that with the ladies. You're not going to see her coming up there with that, that thong on and bouncing that ass on that apron. That ain't gonna happen.
No. And in fact, I don't think they can do that now.
Check out youtube.com/Gerrick Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
After enjoying this edition of the GRP, the Gerrick Report Podcast, definitely head over to www.gerweck.net for other great wrestling podcasts, such as The Rack Show with Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin', Pro Wrestling Nation with Sam Medina. Check out Breaking Raw with Atlee Green as they cover every edition of Monday Night Raw. And then you can also join Atlee Green and my main man, my tag team partner, Frank D, on the Raw Deal Podcast, all available at www.gerweck.net.
Hey, everybody. This is Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Farouk. And you're listening to the Gerrick Report Podcast, and you're listening to that with Steve Gerrick and Frank D. And if you're not tuned in listening to that, I just got one word for you.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gerrick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gerrick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerrick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerrick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
This is Dirty Dutch Mantel. Check out my new book, Tales from a Dirt Road, and check out Gerrick.net for all your pro wrestling news. Oh, excuse me, did I say wrestling? I'm sorry. I mean your action soap opera news, to be politically correct.
While I asked about your family, I know you have young grandkids, children. Do they watch WWE today? Are they into the product at all?
Yeah, they still, watch it. Like I said, I'll have it on, and my grandkids will come in, they'll sit down and watch it. But one of them, he likes to still continue watch it, so he looks at it on his own. But, yeah, they still watch the show, They don't they have no problem with it.
Who do they like? Who do the kids like nowadays? Who are they into?
Well, the only one I got, the 13-year-old boy, he's a big fan of Dean Ambrose. He likes Dean Ambrose. And the other one, let's see, EJ, he's 5 years old. He just doesn't have a favorite. He just likes everybody. So I watch him. He's cheering for everybody. He ain't got a favorite. He likes this guy, that guy. And he's got, the smart thing about him, he knows how to go on his iPad, and he goes right to YouTube, and he'll pull up stuff on me. And one day he was looking at the match that I had with John Laurinaitis, and he ran, I didn't even know he had it, and he ran back in the room, and he says, "Hey, Teddy, you won. And he ran all over the house showing that to everybody.
You have to show him the clip I sent you of the guy that made the MVP likeness of you coming to the ring for the Raw versus SmackDown video game.
That was great.
Get a kick out of that one.
I showed that to everybody, too. Yeah, everybody loved that. And me and my wife, we do a lot of reminiscing too. We go over things sometime. I'll pull up old stuff that I did, and we sit back and we laugh, and I'm saying to myself, "God, did I say that?" we still reminisce about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe the network would be perfect for you because a lot of your stuff's on there.
Right. Well, I hear people. Somebody told me last week, or somebody talked to somebody, said they were showing the deal with me when I was doing the White Boy Challenge. They said that was on there. So I don't know. I don't have the network, so I don't get a chance to watch it, and I don't know what they're showing of me and what they're not.
Gosh, come on, WWE, just give Teddy a subscription for free. I mean, what? They own all his stuff. Give him a free subscription. Frank, they could do that. They're making a few dollars over there.
Yeah, you
have to work for them to get a free prescription. When I was employed there, I had a free prescription. As soon as I got released, they took the network back.
Well, I'll tell you what, Teddy just mentioned that they gave him a free prescription. I'd give that shit back. But Teddy, you got to get a subscription. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not the prescription. You got to get a subscription.
I got you.
You don't want
to have to take that prescription to the drugstore.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to get no network pills. You know what I mean?
You're right, Frank. Frank, thank you so much for correcting me. I need a subscription.
You need the subscription. There you go, player.
Right. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No worries.
Although sometimes when I'm watching WWE, I do need a prescription. In fact, a lot
of prescription of what, Steve?
Something that will make it taste a little bit better.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Because, as Bret Hart would say, sometimes wrestling doesn't taste very good, and hasn't really tasted very good in quite a while, actually. So.
Yeah, didn't WWE have some type of a sponsorship deal a few months ago with Rolex?
That would be perfect.
I know a lot of people who watch Raw and get gassed, so
they need like Budweiser, because if you watch that show, you kind of need a couple of those to really get into the show.
But I'm gonna tell you this story real quick too. It's funny because we're talking about the WWE network here, and Teddy was talking about his grandkids and how they still follow the business. I was getting my tux the other day, and there was this little kid in the store. He was playing with his two action figures. It was The Rock and John Cena. And this kid knew all the moves of everybody. I'm talking about people from the past. I'm talking about people like Bret Hart and all that. And the father was like, "Yeah, I got the WWE Network, and I watch it with my son." And I'm like, wow, because this kid knew everything. And I was like, oh, so he knows everything, huh? So I'm like, okay, so that's ringing in my head. So I go there also, NWO. Well, he hasn't gotten to that part yet. They're still in the added, not the added, but they're still in the new generation part of the WWF. So I think that's so cool. That is actually, showing the kids today the history of the business, of where we got to and where we, how we got to where we are today. So So I think that's really a great tool. That right there is where the network really is a great tool to show you the history of this business, especially if you are a fan today and you just think, well, there's just WWE. No, you got to go back and look at the history books. There was Global. There was, you know, Mid-South. There was, you know, WCW. There was, you know, all that stuff, ECW. You got to just go back and look at it on the network. You know, and learn the history of the business. It's all about being a student of the game.
Well, it's very educational.
History from their perspective.
Well, you can. It's not really a history from their perspective if they have all the stuff on there for you to watch. I mean, if they have Smoky Mountain Wrestling on there or AWA or whatever, it's not really a history from their perspective. They can show a history from their perspective if you're watching the Monday Night War. But if you go out there and do your own research, you'll know that they're just fitting the narrative of the WWE being a welfare case and Ted Turner's company just, you know, wanting to put them out of business. You know, they'll go with that narrative over and over again. And we, you know, us being, you know, smart to the business, we already know that that's WWE's narrative. You got to go out there and do your own research. Like, there's a lot of people that were like, when Anderson and Gallows, you know, debuted Monday, they were like, well, who are these guys? I've never seen them before. It's because you don't go outside of WWE. So a lot of people didn't know who AJ Styles was. Okay, because you're stuck in the WWE bubble. Go out there. It's it's an exciting world of wrestling going on other places outside of WWE.
Kevin Owens, Cesaro, all these guys.
Exactly. Go up there. Did you know Cesaro was teaming with Chris Hero and Ring of Honor? They were the kings of wrestling. You know, Kevin Steen and, you know, Sami Zayn. Well, you know, our LG Netico, you know, all that shit. People don't know anything about that. People see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens out there, you know, going at it on Raw. They're like, well, where the hell did this start?
Right.
I'm going to ask Teddy, too, because I know he said, last couple of people he's mentioned here, they were nice to me. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to say. Teddy always says, they were nice to me. Was there anybody that you worked with, came in contact with, that maybe weren't exactly the nicest people to work with?
Well, you know, you may not believe this or not, but basically, I didn't really have, you know, sometimes I hated sometimes to work with Big Show. You know, he just was never happy, you know, about stuff, you know. But then again, too, you know, I worked with him for a while, and me and him did pre-tapes and promos and stuff, and we got along fine. So, I mean, everybody, I got along with everybody. You may not believe that, man. I got along with everybody. I got some of the crew guys right now, Steve and Frank, that work on the crew that found out I was on Facebook. And these guys, I just accepted them like a couple of days ago, man, you know, but talking about how they miss me. And please, man, we sure wish we had you back. I mean, these are just crew guys because, you know, I just didn't look down on people. And there were a lot of guys that came out, you know, doing rehearsals and stuff, and they would never speak to the crew people, you know what I mean? Kind of looked at them like, well, you know, you guys are not wrestling, you ain't with us, you know, we don't know you. But I didn't do that. I went around and I played and I joked with the crew guys and everybody. When I got there at 2:00 in the afternoon and I walked out in the arena, all those guys that were setting up, working, doing stuff, I walked around, shook all their hands, and I was friends with everybody. So that's kind of the way I carried myself. So I really, you know, didn't have any problem, any difficulty working with anybody, you know. Jericho, and he wasn't difficult to work with. He was just difficult to work with the writers, you know. He just had this thing where if these guys didn't come up, you know, with my stuff right away, you know, God damn it, I got to go. We got stuff to do. So he was kind of impatient, a little bit with his patience. But other than that, man, you know, I kind of got along with everybody.
Oh, so you weren't an uppity asshole.
Oh, no, no. See, I never forgot where I come from. You know what I mean? I always said to myself, if I got a break in this business, that I would never, you know, shit on anybody or step on anybody just because I'm on TV and I'm making a little money now and I'm on top. That ain't the way to go because I came from the streets, and I can tell you firsthand, what goes up will certainly come down. Karma is a mother. And I don't want to keep cursing, but karma is a bitch. What goes around comes around, and I've seen that happen, and I didn't ever want to put myself in that position. So I knew from my start, when I first started, I came from nothing. I was a nobody. So why would I get up there and, you know, cause now I am somebody to look down on people? That's not the thing to do.
And for the most part, over the years, Vince has pretty much run a professionally run backstage area. So it's not like he's got people always pointing things out or fighting. Because we've heard stories of other backstage for other promotions. Sometimes it wasn't easy going to be backstage at some of these events and a lot of chaos going on. But for the most part, judging over the years, WWE pretty much runs a pretty professional backstage area.
And the other thing, too, you know, you always had to keep this in mind. You know what I mean? You know, when you're in a position like that, you know, there are a lot of haters there. They'll laugh in your face, but they're talking about you behind your back. And they're just waiting on you to do something. They're just waiting on you to mess up so they can come out and say, hey, see, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? I told you that guy. So I always knew that because I watched that from back in the day. So I've made sure that anybody that would screw my job up would be me. That would be the only person that would screw it up, and that would be me. And so I never did do that because I understood. So, you know, you just certain things you just don't mistreat people. It's just that simple.
I want to ask you, when you're out in public, are you well-recognized? Do you have a lot of people come up to you and say, hey, I remember you, Teddy Long, WWE. Did you have that when you go to the restaurants and to the...
Oh, yeah, I have people come up to me now that still think I'm there. You know, some people still think I'm there, but I guess they're not, you know, basically not watching it. But I'm in the gym, you know, 6 days out of the week. I have a lot of people there. You know, a lot of people know me because some of the same guys in the gym almost every day like I am. But, you know, nobody really bothers me. You know, they come up and they're glad to talk to me because I take time and I talk to people. You know, I stop and I sign autographs for people. How long does it take for you to sign your name on a piece of paper? You know what I mean? And I've seen people that didn't do that. I was one time standing with Evander Holyfield, the boxer. And we were doing, it was some function here in Atlanta. I can't remember what it was. But I was standing right next to him, and a little kid walked up to him and asked him for an autograph. And he told this little kid, he says, I do autographs on my time, not your time. Now, how long did it take you to put your name on a piece of paper for this little kid, man? You know what I'm saying? It's sad. So, you know, that's just the way I've always been.
Yeah, that is sad. I would hope two of those that recognize you, that realize you're not with the company now, would say, hey, Teddy, coming back to WWE, or we hope to see you back in WWE sometime soon.
Well, I get that a lot, too. You know, a lot of my Facebook friends, you know, they send me, you know, they message me with the same stuff, you know, when are you coming back? Why don't you go back? You're the best GM. And I just let them know, you know, it's not my call. You know, it's not my decision to go back to WWE. It's their decision. If they want me, I certainly will be honored to go back and give the fans, you know, some more Teddy Long. But it ain't me. It's on them. So, you know, and I'm not sitting around calling them every day or I didn't call them at all. I don't even talk to anybody there. Except some of the guys that I was friends with, you know, like Mike Chioda and some of the other wrestlers, R-Truth and people. We talk every now and then, but I'm not calling them, you know, because I understand this. They don't want you kissing their ass. That's one thing. So I know this. If they want me, they got my number. They know how to call me. And I ain't, you know, just sitting around trying to be no big shot, but that's just how it works.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Right. That's exactly. And that's what they want you to know. And if you understand that, you'll be better off. Leave them alone because they ain't going to do nothing until they get ready to do it.
What is your opinion of Bill DeMott?
Bill DeMott, I've known him over the years. Back in the day when I was breaking in with Kevin Sullivan, you know, he was a big friend of Kevin Sullivan's down there. Hugh Morris was his name at the time back in the day. But, yeah, I knew him. And, you know, like I said, me and him was real good buddies too. Him and Kevin were great friends, so I'd met him over the years. Yeah, I get along with him right now.
And do you ever work with Nicole Bass or have any interaction with her?
I did have interaction with her. She came to WWE for a while. She was up there for a while, and I worked with her. She was a real nice girl. She just, to me, she wasn't all there. You know, she was about 5 pieces short of a 6-pack of chicken or something, but she wasn't there. But other than that, she was a nice person, though. Real nice as she could be, real humble, but she just wasn't all there.
Yeah, I get linked to all kinds of things she's posted on her social media, and it's like she's like losing her mind or something.
Yeah,
and then again, maybe her mind wasn't there to begin with, so I don't know.
No, I don't think it was. You know, like I said, man, she was just as humble and nice as she could be, but she was not all there.
Hmm. What would you think? They've been teasing. One of the other things I saw online was Shaq, who, of course, came back and worked the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. They interviewed him, and he said that he's open to doing a match at WrestleMania next year. What would you think of Shaq actually having a match at next year's WrestleMania?
Well, the first thing I think Shaq needs to do is to learn how to work. okay? I mean, his wrestling skills, he's okay, but he's not one of the best wrestlers in the world. So what you want to do is you want to learn how to work first, you know, so that you can be able to perform on a big event like WrestleMania. So God bless him. Good luck to him. If he's able to come back and work on WrestleMania, more power to him.
What do you think, Frank? Shaq in a ring? I know one thing they've been teasing was, you know, Big Show versus Shaq next year. That doesn't sound like something that interests me.
Well, it's all about the spectacle of WrestleMania now, because WrestleMania, it used to be a wrestling show, but now it's all about entertainment. So they got to bring all these big attractions now to WrestleMania. So Shaq versus Big Show, if that's something that they want to do, I think that it will be a big success. Because once again, it's an attraction. You got a big guy in Shaq and a big guy in the Big Show. Those two meet in the ring finally after all these years. People are going to like that.
Right. And it's the way that they build it too. If they build it right, it'll be a success.
Exactly. And it'll probably be a success if they don't build it right. I mean, look at WWE put, you know, quote unquote, 100,000 people inside of AT&T Stadium this year. So.
Right.
No doubt next year at the Citrus Bowl, WrestleMania 33 is going to be on and cracking. But, you know, my only problem with WrestleMania now, it has to do with them taking out the number. Because, you know, Vince McMahon says that, you know, if they put the numbers, it makes, you know, WrestleMania sound old. That's really a stupid argument to me, because you don't see them doing that with the Super Bowl.
Or UFC.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez. UFC is like 200 plus, so they just continue on with the numbers. So I don't see a problem either. That's how you decipher between the numbers. Is this was 32, next year's 33, and beyond. Doesn't that, like, can you, like, pat yourself on the back and say, hey, this is the 33rd WrestleMania?
Well, that's the way I would look at it. You know what,
yeah.
I mean? I would be proud to display the numbers, because it shows to me, you know, just how long that this has been around and how long it's lasted, and it's keep on moving in the right direction.
It's like, I've been around since 1997 on the internet. I don't want to hide that. I'm going to gloat it, you know, 19 years.
That's a success. You're a success, and you want people
right.
to know that.
Absolutely. Something that Frank has mentioned here I want to throw out, because I don't know if you saw it, but it looks like TNA is starting to downsize. They're actually moving their offices basically to a warehouse. I understand this warehouse is basically where their merchandise is distributed from. And, you know, Frank, you keep telling me, you know, they somehow survive and they have more lives than Rasputin. But you have to wonder, Frank, they're downsizing again. They're in financial trouble. They're looking for a new investor. Are we getting towards the end of TNA?
You know, Steve, I think that we were towards the end of TNA 2 or 3 years ago, to be honest with you. I'm not going to come on here and bash TNA or make fun of the fact that they're moving their headquarters into a warehouse. I really don't honestly give a shit about what they do. I mean, the only thing I know is they have a lot of great talent down there at TNA, and if it is the end of the company, hopefully these talents that they have down there can find work elsewhere, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Well, my opinion on that, you know, TNA could have been, you know, I think they could have, you know, went somewhere. You know, they're never going to be big as WWE, but I'm still saying I believe they could have been in the running if they started off right, and they started off wrong, paying a lot of guys more money than they deserve. So that's how they lost a lot of money. And then, like I said, there are people out there that they could call and they could use that they don't even reach out to, and I'm not blowing my own horn, but, you know, I'm right here available, you know what I mean? Who wouldn't have bid on that? Teddy Long now goes in to take over TNA, straighten it out. You know, so I don't understand. I'm right here. So, you know, like I told you, they told me, well, they didn't tell me. They told MVP, Dave Lagana told MVP that they didn't need anybody to talk.
You know, every time you say that, I just like want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, that's what I was told, that they didn't need, Dave Lagana said, we don't need anybody to talk. We don't need a talker.
Whenever has it been a situation where they just had too many talkers? He didn't really need a talker. I mean,
I don't know. I have no idea what that even meant. Okay, I tell you what it meant. It meant, hey, we don't want you.
Yeah, I guess if you read between the lines.
Yeah, that's what it meant. Hey, we don't want
you. So it's a dumb response. Just tell me you don't want me. Or we can't use you.
Yeah, you ain't got to pat around. I don't care, man. What do you want? I'm enjoying my time off. It's great. I'm relaxed and having a great time, you know. But if I I thought that I could reach out and help you, so to say, we could help each other. You know, I don't get it.
We got a question here from Mumbai Kitchen. Wants to know your thoughts on WWE adding a legacy leg of the Hall of Fame. This year they put in Mildred Burke and Ed Strangler Lewis and George Hackenschmidt and a lot of the past greats that maybe wouldn't get their due maybe with the Hall of Fame. But I don't know, Teddy. I mean, if they belong in the Hall of Fame, and I know a lot of these guys were before, you know, big-time wrestling, like, say, in the 50s, but if they belong in the Hall of Fame, they belong in the Hall of Fame. I mean, what's the point of having a legacy leg of the Hall of Fame?
Well, I really can't answer that question. I have no idea, you know, why they're doing that or why that's even being talked about. You know, I just really don't know. But, you know, maybe, you know, they're running out of guys to put in the Hall of Fame, I guess. I don't know. But maybe that's just something brand new and something they want to try. And, you know, with me, with them, you know, I hope it works for them.
I mean, to me, Frank, if they belong in, they belong in. I mean, they were in the wrestling business, and why not honor them in the regular Hall of Fame?
I think the problem with that, Steve, is it might come down to they don't have any footage of these people. That's the reason why they can't put them in the Hall of Fame. You know, the lack of footage, it's not there. So that's the reason why. I have no problem with the Legacy Hall of Fame. You know, I have no problem with that wing at all. You have to know the history of the business, and I have no problem with them honoring these people at all. I think that is a well-deserved honor.
The other thing would be, too, is there's probably nobody there to induct them. There's nobody there to accept for them. A lot of the families have passed on. You know, we're talking about, you know, decades and decades ago. So that might be the issue, but I don't know. I just think if you belong in, you belong in. You know, I don't think it's necessary to have a separate wing for legacy. I just think if you belong in a wrestling Hall of Fame, you belong in the wrestling Hall of Fame. But I understand Frank's point of view there with, you know, they don't have the footage for a lot of these guys, and this is the way they do it. I guess the bottom line, Teddy, is that as long as you get in, right? It doesn't matter how they do it.
That's it.
Yeah, so. And then he also wants to know what's our opinion on the possibility of them honoring Chris Travis with the Warrior Award next year. Chris Travis just recently passed away, 32 years old, a British wrestler, stomach cancer, very tragic there. And I don't know, Frank, it would seem like it would make some sense maybe to put somebody like him in it. He is actually a worker or a former wrestler there, but it seems like that's not the direction you're going with that award.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do that at all. If they were going to do that, there's been plenty of wrestlers who actually worked for WWE, WWF, that have died from cancer. Look at John Tenta. You know, he passed away from stomach cancer. Look at Dr. Dev C. Williams. They haven't inducted them yet. You know, it's very, you know, sad what happened to Mr. Travis, but I don't see him being a recipient of the Warrior Award at all. I think that that award is pretty much something that they use as a tool to get positive PR, positive publicity for the company for someone who's not really affiliated with the business. And I think that's the direction they're going with. Completely opposite, by the way, of what the Ultimate Warrior wanted that award for originally.
Yeah, it was more like for like backstage personnel, right? I mean, at some point you got to put in guys that play a essential role with the production of the TV and the cameras. And I think that wasn't that the original idea, Frank, is to honor the people?
I believe it was. That's what Warrior said on the stage with his speech. So he didn't mention anything about what they are talking about now. Now it's just all about PR. So it was all about, you know, positive PR for the company and having Joan London there to accept the award and the relationship they have with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. The award is strictly for that purpose now only, not what Warrior had in mind. And his widow, his wife, is going along with it. So there's no change in that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Teddy, who is your all-time favorite wrestler?
The Undertaker.
Undertaker. And who do you consider the greatest wrestler of all time?
The Undertaker.
Okay.
I do. I really mean that. I've worked with him for many, many years, man. And the reason I say he's my favorite guy because, you know, behind the scenes, he's still the same guy. He's still that same guy. And I've watched him bend over backwards to try to go out and help people, you know, and try to make them successful and try to help them make it in this business. So, you know, he's a hell of a nice guy. A lot of people just don't know what he does behind the scenes, but he does a lot more back there than he does in the ring. But he's one of my favorites, and he'll always be that. He kind of came to my rescue in WCW when I had some problems there with Ole and stuff. So, you know, and he came to my rescue one time in the WWE. I had a little problem with Dean Malenko. So I had to go to Taker and talk to him about that. So he kind of straightened things out, you know, for me there. So, you know, he's my guy. That's all I can say. And not because he came to my rescue and not because he helped me. He's still a nice guy. Whether he came to my rescue or not, he was still my favorite.
I don't know, Frank. Who is the greatest wrestler of all time?
That's a very, very good question. I know from my own personal opinion, my favorite wrestler of all time is Macho Man Randy Savage.
So. Yeah, I have a hard time going off that one myself. It's something that it's one of those topics you throw out every now and then. It's every time you bring it up, you think of different names. I mean, I can think of Ric Flair and Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and there's so many of them. But a lot of it just comes down to your personal preference. And, you know, certainly when I grew up, you know, Macho Man was at the height, you know, the purple shirt and the glasses and down that aisle. And he was something else back in the day. So.
And he had character. He had personality, and that's what a lot of guys today don't have. They don't have that character. They don't have that personality. Nobody really stands out. And I think that's also something that's hurting Roman Reigns. When we talked about Roman Reigns earlier in this show, where's the character? Where's the personality? It's just you look at Roman Reigns, and I see the Shield. That's pretty much, to me, what it is. I mean, they're, you know, where are the Ultimate Warriors today? You know, where is the Macho Man's? Where is the, you know, the Hulk Hogan's? Well, you have, I guess you could say with Hulk Hogan, you got John Cena, but where is the you know, Doink the Clown characters today? You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, Doink with the little Doink. I'm talking about heel Doink. You know, where are the, you know, just where are the characters? That's my point. Where's the characters today? You know, where are the characters that make wrestling fun?
Yeah, we don't have any more of them, and those that are still out there, you know, I guess in WWE's eyesight, they're too old now to even bring back.
Got one more question here from Teddy and by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at Gerwick and Teddy Play Along on Twitter, and you can ask us questions as well. We'll definitely address it here on the podcast, but we got someone here who wants to know, other than your own theme, what is your favorite wrestling theme?
I guess the Vince McMahon music, there's no chance in hell. I like that.
What's yours, Frank? What's your? I know we've talked about themes before. There's a lot of good ones out there over the course of time. But I don't know, two or three favorite themes, Frank?
Damn, that's hard.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah. You know what, man? I have to agree with Teddy. I like the No Chance in Hell, but I like the corporate ministry version. No Chance in Hell. I thought that was a good one. I got to go with. I like the Bullet Club theme song. I think that's pretty good. And another one I can go with. I always liked Bobby Roode's TNA thing. Those are my favorites.
I guess if you're talking current, maybe. But if you're talking, who all time? What's your favorite wrestling theme all time?
All time.
NWO.
Well, NWO. NWO is one. But I got to go with Jake Roberts, Trust Me.
Oh, wow.
And let me throw in the old Road Warriors theme. I like that one.
The Iron Man?
Yeah, the Iron Man. You know, when Hawk would come in,
yeah.
They had him on the intro. Wow, what a rush. Yeah, I love that one.
And I know this will be an underrated one, but part of having a good wrestling theme is it fits the character so well. And that old Mr. Perfect theme back in the day.
Oh, that still goes hard today.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one today. You know something else, too, Steve? When you were talking here about wrestling music for a minute here, I mean, I was watching the other day on YouTube, I was looking at some of the old Mean Gene Okerlund reports for the pay-per-views from the WWF. And you got to go back. WWE just recently released the Legacy of the Undertaker album. on iTunes. And I'm like, why in the world has WWE never, ever released the Survivor Series theme song, the old, you know, saxophone intro? How come they never released the SummerSlam theme from back in the day? I mean, they're sitting on a lot of cool tracks. I mean, they came out, you know, years ago, they came out with that WWE Anthology album. Remember that? Where it was the three discs. They had the Federation years, the Attitude Era, and the New Era or something like that. But why not put an album out like that again? You know, this time you got, you know, Demolition. Why? You know, I have a lot of these songs anyways, but that SummerSlam, man, and that Survivor Series, those are hard to come by.
And you never get tired of hearing the Undertaker's theme. That was another one that came to mind. Just,
but which, you know, Undertaker theme?
That's see, true. Yeah, that's true.
That's the one, yeah. See, me personally, I like the one where he came out, and he's he came out in 1989. It was the Ministry of Darkness, and he had the one thing where he was, you know, speaking in tongues. When he had that break there, that's one of my all time favorite themes of all time. And I like Kane's theme he had back in the day. Was Slow Chemical, when he had the lyrical version. That was awesome. They have really produced this industry. Has really produced a lot of great music. And Jim Johnson from WWE, he is at the forefront of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Kurt Angle music, the Olympic music back in the day.
Right, and Teddy,
yeah.
Do you know the origin of where your theme came from?
Vince McMahon selected it. That was Vince's baby. He picked that music out himself. That's what I heard. Well, in fact, I was told that by somebody, but because Vince loved it. Every time he would play that, he would be back there dancing with me when we'd hear the song, but just before I would walk out. So Vince picked that out himself.
Yeah, that theme song is funny because your theme song had life, you know, at a previous WrestleMania. It was actually the WrestleMania 2000 theme song, and then they removed the lyrics from it, and then they did a rough, you know, demo, and then they came back with a song for you and Rodney Mack, and then they had you at the beginning talking about, let me holler at your player, and then it went on to become Mack Militant. So it's had a life since the year 2000.
Yeah.
And as we wrap with here, Teddy, I know more work is being done at teddylong.com. Maybe we'll see the GRP up there at some point.
Oh, well, yeah, the GRP is definitely going to be up there, player. You ain't got to worry about that. like I said last time we talked, you know, I've been a little, not doing much this month because I've been trying to, brought on some interns that are going to be helping us with TeddyLong.com. They're going to be getting everything out there on social media so that not only will I be involved in wrestling, but I'll be involved in motivational speaking, where we'll go to high schools and speak and talk to the people about the importance of staying in school, getting an education, and staying off drugs, because I think that I can do that better than anybody. I'm not going to talk to nobody about nothing I read in a book. I'm going to tell you about my life story and what really happened with me, and if I can overcome it, I know you can too. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. And what I'm going to be doing this month is April the 23rd. I'm going to be down in Mobile, Alabama for the AWF. We'll be in Theodore, Alabama. That's the company that I'm the vice president of. And we got a big show there with the Boogeyman and some of the AWF superstars in Theodore, Alabama at the Theodore High School. Next month, I know May 14th, I think we'll be in Barnesville, Georgia with Doc Gallus and his partner there. We'll be there with the Bullet Club, and we got some other stuff coming up with Paul Lee down in Ringo, Georgia, for a big WrestleCon show there. So, like I said, we're getting our things kind of up to date right now, and I will be putting it out on the website so people can be able to keep up with it, and that's at TeddyLong.com. And let me mention this, too. I'm also involved now with CelebVM.com is where I will record your own personal video for you. You know, you can just contact me there, Celeb.com/TeddyLong.
So if you want a personal message from Teddy Long, a birthday message, a happy anniversary, anything like that, you just hook yourself up and you get a personal message from Teddy Long.
Exactly,
that's,
brother. And
let us know,
and we'll do it live for you however you want it.
That's awesome. So definitely check out TeddyLong.com and definitely check out his Twitter, Teddy Playa Long. As I said, follow us, ask us questions. We'll definitely address them here on the podcast as well. And as always, Teddy, a pleasure talking to you. And I also want to say in closing as well, again, congratulations to my main man, Frank D., on his marriage.
Well, thank you very much,
man. Let me say that too, Frank. We know everything's gonna be all right for you. I'm real happy for you, and I know that your marriage is gonna be a success because I know the type of person that you are. You're gonna make it work, brother. And I think you got the right person in your life, and so God bless you and much success.
Thank you very much, Teddy. And I would also like to send a special shout out to my little brother who had his birthday yesterday, and he spent that with his brand new baby girl. So it was a great day. Like I said before, we were talking offline here. Had the wedding on the same day. The baby girl, Ayana, came into our life as well. So it was a blessed day.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. And real quickly, I want to mention in closing, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. We've reduced the price of our T-shirts now to $17.99 plus shipping and handling. So definitely check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast. We'll be back with the next edition.
Holla, 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 players.